Christmas banquet. It's going to be at 6 o'clock at the Family Life Center. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday, and then the 29th is our mission pledge will be due. Then we're going to hop into January. The 12th is Youth Sunday. Then the 21st, the 21st is Ladies United Fellowship at Bratcher's Nursery. And then the 26th, our mission pledge will be due. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? Aren't you thankful that you have someone that you can put full hope into and have a confidence that He will fulfill every promise, every word He's given you? Thank you, Jesus.
When I walk through the water, is on the way.
Help is on the way.
Can you get it in your spirit a little bit that your help is on the way? I might not see it with my human eyes, but I hold on to the word that says that he's an on-time God. He's an ever-present help in the time of need.
He gon' stand by what he claimed. I've lived enough life to say.
I heard your heart, I see your pain. Out in the dark, out in the rain. You're so alone, you're so afraid. I heard you pray in Jesus' name.
It may be midnight or midday, it's never early.
Ever-present help in the time of trouble, with any need that we have in our life, in our mind, our body, our spirit this morning, I am believing that that help is not just on the way, but that help is here in the house this morning. Scripture says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so we have the choice to make. Is he going to inhabit me today? That doesn't mean, am I going to be perfect so that way he will inhabit me? Am I going to have this in order? No. Am I going to praise him today? Am I going to acknowledge that I have a need in my mind, in my heart, in my body, whatever it is? But at the same time, acknowledge that my God is greater, that my help is here, that my help is looking to be a help in that time of trouble. And so right now we have specific names on a list. We have an overhead with names, but we have people that are in here this morning that I believe have situations and have the need for God to move in them, and I believe that he will. So I'm going to read some names, and if you feel the need to come forward for prayer, I encourage you to do so. Ministers will anoint you with oil and pray with you and for you. And I believe that God is going to minister to you in a way that you haven't felt maybe ever. We have Lorenda Yoder, Brother Tiny Freeland, Sister Dickie, Ronnie Gidrose, Katie Bean, Charles Scarborough, Chad McQueen, Kenny Hamm, Kyron Hamner, Carl Hopkins, Neil Thompson, and we have many names on the overhead. And I believe that God is going to move. So right now, with every eye closed, with every hand lifted, can we just call on the name of the Lord in faith this morning? That Father, I pray right now. I don't know whatever I don't know what everybody's facing. I don't know what the person next to me is going through. But God, I know that if we agree on one thing, that your power is greater than anything that we come up against, that your power is greater than any sickness, any darkness, any confusion, any doubt, or any fear. And so God, right now, I speak against fear in this house this morning. I speak against doubt and confusion this morning. And I pray that your light begins to shine through and minister to the minds of those right now. Jesus' name, amen.
Heaven's stars are open. Fighting on is just a beat.
Yeah. and instantly felt so convicted that I was singing about exalting someone that I had lost my trust in a little bit. I stand up here so imperfect and so confused on God's plan for my life, for our church. Is it okay to admit that? Is anybody there? And I'm trying not to be callous to God and trying to trust Him. And I felt so convicted that I was singing about exalting Him when all week long I've exalted my distrust in Him. To exalt something means that it's the forefront of your mind. To mean that that's what you're relying on. To mean that that's what you're trusting in. So at this time, could you just pray a special prayer for us to trust God? Whatever you're going through, maybe you're not going through anything right now, but as a church body, could we unify more than ever right now when we're going through a transition that is life-altering? Could we? Why don't you grab the hand of someone next to you? God, we need you. God, we had some plans of our own, but God, we need you. And we need you to just go in and step in and take away all of our plans, all of our agendas, God. Everything that we have planned with the human mind, and let you trump it with your plan that is perfect, your plan that is life-changing, your plan that is the best. Your ways are higher, your thoughts are greater, God. We're clinging on to your nail-scarred hands. Never once have you failed us. Never once have you forsaken us, God. So I'm praising your name today, God. I'm praying that you would replace our distrust and remind us of the sweetness of trusting the one who created the moon, the stars, and gives us our every breath, God. I pray that you would keep your hand on our church as a church family collectively, God. I praise your holy name. I praise your holy name, God. We've come to exalt your name above everything that's going on in our lives, God. We've come to lift your name higher. Oh God, why don't you give him some praise? Oh yes, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh God, I exalt thee. Oh Lord, you're the Lord of the Lord.
if the ushers could get ready to come or take our tithes and our offering. And if you want to know a way, and you may be seated, a way to truly exalt an immovable God, one that's already above all, is you tear down the strongholds and you bring down every single thing that you have yourself exalted to begin to compare to him in your sight and in your mind and in your attention and your focus. God is already exalted high above the heavens and the earth. God is already where he plans to be. But we have allowed things to build up, whether it's doubts, whether it's confusion, whether it's focuses, whatever it is, we've allowed it to build. But when we decide to tear down the strongholds and casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, that is how you exalt the King of Kings. That's how you exalt one that cannot be moved, that cannot be shaken, as we decide to tear down every single thought, every single bondage that we have lifted up. And so we have one more song to just exalt him and tear down everything. And the word will be preached. But let that word be planted in our heart. And let us respond to it. Let us produce fruit this week because of that word. And so, Father, thank you for your presence and your spirit. Thank you for the word that is going to be brought. Thank you for what is given. Bless the giver today and bless every single person in this building this morning that made their way to the house of God. Let us feel your love, your power today in Jesus' name.
The only name that brings healing. God bless you as you're seated. It is always a thrill to bring the bread of life to people who have appetite for the things of best. Best life, both here and beyond the grave. It is always a joy to share the bread or the word and the wine or the spirit. Both are reconciled in the word of God. So I wish you'd just look around and smile at somebody as if to say, we're all going to make it. And while we're going to make it, what we do understand is the word of God never lies. And he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He made it very clear. Trouble is with you always. Is there anybody here that's never had either of the above? All of us have had that kind of thing. But he said, be not afraid, because I give you peace. And I will bring to you restoration for what the enemy has stolen from you. And I will heal your mind from all of the things that would dishonor your life. And I will heal your heart from the evil that the enemy has tried to destroy you with. And so it's a fabulous joy as a pastor to be able to bring words of reconciliation, no matter where we are, and no matter how difficult life has been, and no matter how many roads you've had to travel to get to what we call the well, and that's Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. Going to do the best I can to help us today, and it's been a long time since I've used the overhead just for this, but we're going to try to put a few things up here, and I want to somehow get into us as we enjoy this Christmas season. And so I choose to use the term Christ and Christmas and why. We celebrate by worshiping Jesus because he was willing to come and go through all the transitions of life that you would ever have. He was born in a stable. He lived in what we would call basic poverty. He walked the streets of people who ridiculed him, who made fun of him, who looked at him as if he were a nobody. And yet he was the one that gave them the very breath they breathed. And so it was a wonderful thing when they finally beat him and put him in a grave, thinking they could get rid of something they didn't realize was a good future. And so they came as far as they could, stuffed him in a grave. But he said, you put this thing in the grave, I'm coming out of here. Because I want to show you my plan for you. You're going to die someday. But if you die in Jesus Christ, that grave can't hold you. And you're coming out. And so it's a joy again to preach the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and all that was therein. In the midst of that Garden of Eden, he put Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were the first to let the enemy destroy a future that was perfect. Everything in that Garden of Eden was perfect. They had nothing but one devil. And he got in and he got a hold of their thoughts, began to twist them, and they decided they would eat of the tree of life that was forbidden. And so God put at the gate, which is the flaming sword you see there in the middle, a sword that turned every which way so they could not get back in without a covenantal promise. They could not just begin to enjoy the best of life again. They could not begin to just overcome all the difficulties again. They forfeited what they could have had. And so on the right, we began in the book of Genesis, creation, Adam and Eve. And then you get into the law, the Psalms, and the law and the prophet, and then Christ and the church age in the book of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts, the action of what the Spirit of God can and will do. And then you see the teaching process from the book of Acts. You go into the Romans and all the way to Jude. And then in those discipleship classes or places where ministry began to minister to people that they wanted the best, but their flesh kept calling them to the lower level of life. And so in the process, they continued. And then you get to the book of Revelation and where you begin to see in the first few chapters. But no matter how much sin you had with you, and no matter how many tunnels of darkness nights that you experienced, he said, I want to tell you something. I'm coming to you, and I'm going to send a preacher to you, and I'm going to send a covenant to you, and I'm going to give you peace that passes understanding. You're not even going to understand what you're getting into until you experience the experience. And that is to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And so you sense that in three or four different places in the book of action. And so he tells you in Acts, the second chapter, the clarity of his promise is just beyond a faith in the Word of God. So he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and you will speak in a heavenly language. And I always marvel, and of course some of you have already heard this, but it just shocks me when people feel free to curse and tell things in pitiful spiritual economy that's going on in our world. And then when it comes to talking in tongues and the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it, all begins to work in the mind and the heart and the hands and the feet and just daily life. And that's ridiculous. I've never seen a husband blessed by a wife cussing him out. I've never seen a neighbor blessed by getting a good cussing. I've never seen a proprietor of a business get excited about somebody cussing them out. But I've never seen anybody hurt by talking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord moved through their life. I know I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I repent for part of that, part of it. But it's a sad thing to me that the literacy of our land is so filled with wonderful, wonderful abilities to create the cars, to create aircraft, to create, well, I don't have my cell phone with me, but it's amazing how much that stuff can get. It's just amazing that all of that stuff can come right through the air and God's voice not really. Now that's a good grandson-in-law. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm fixing to call somebody. And if you will, just raise your hand when I call you, and I won't embarrass you. I'll just say you are free to put it down. Is anybody getting a call? Oh, Sister Janice. One of my hairstylers. The two are sitting right there together. Kim and Janice, thank y'all for coming. I had to debate quite a bit whether to embarrass them or just let them know that I really appreciate them. It is wonderful to be able to celebrate Christ and Christmas, because in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Never, never should we in any way be ashamed of what God is trying to lead us through so that we can experience the best of life. This is the way that God planned for all humans, the Christmas story. The heart stands for love. Our world has a different concept of love. Love and lust both behave almost exactly. The only difference is love gives quality. And lust tries to get quality. And so the lust of the flesh and the powers that we think can satisfy us, we pay and give our life for things that really don't have anything but a dead-end street. But that's why we celebrate Christmas, is because every one of us were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and how many lies I told and how many rebellious moments I lived in and how many hate thoughts and how many all kind of other weird stuff that was dominating my life as a young boy and growing up as a teenager. And it was a wonderful day when I finally decided, if there's no heaven or no hell, at least the path is clean. If there is no heaven or hell, my heart will not have to worry about another lie or cheating or doing things of that nature. Because guilt is a horrible, horrible tie. Guilt can confine the best of sunny days. Guilt can put a shame in a heart and in a way of living that it's almost impossible to get free. But Jesus Christ said, I am come and I am going to break those chains. I'm going to give you mercy and I'm going to give you forgiveness and I'm going to give you the love that passes understanding. And I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to start speaking in a heavenly language, and nobody is going to know but just the God that created the heavens and the earth. He can interpret everything that you're experiencing. And that's why Paul said, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. But if I love him, and we praised God for the Christmas story because God became flesh. The Bible uses the term God became sin because flesh has sin in it. You don't have to teach a kid to lie, cheat, and steal. You don't have to teach a kid to hate. You have to train them by the Spirit. And that's the beauty of the Christmas season. So he loved us, and then he died for us. And the blood that he shed had spirit and life in it. And the reason we celebrate Christmas is because of Christ. Not because of how much gifts we will get, but how much we will enjoy remembering the gift of love, the gift of kindness, the gift of mercy, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of promises that have yet to be fulfilled. And so we see that Christ, with the heart, the love that he had right here, took him to a cross and then to an empty grave. And there they put him in that grave thinking they were getting rid of him. They were only fooling themselves, just like so many in our life, in our world. And that's why we have church like this. We understand and we love the worst of sinners because I was one of them. You were one of them. And we don't do anything but portray his love, because while Christ looked at me as a pitiful teenaging sinner, he said, come unto me. I'll change your modus operandi. I will transform your mind. I will give you a wife and children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. God only knows. Do you mind one of my grandkids holding up my great-grandkid? Renly? Friendly Renly. Would you look at the crowd and give them that smile? Oh, she loves it every now and then when I make little noises, and she'll look at me and just give me that big grin, and I'll thank God all over again for getting married. That trail from the manger I wish I was a good singer. I'd sing right now, The Old Rugged Cross. You can thank God for the Easter story, because sin was nailed to that cross. Jesus became sin who knew no sin. And Christ understood that sin had to be covered by blood that was pure. And God provided a bloodline. Without a husband from the earth, God put a seed in Mary. And the Christmas story is one of the greatest stories you'll ever experience, until you experience being born again of the water and the Spirit. And that reenactment, that transfer of authority, that transfer of the glory, that transfer of a vision, that transfer of a forever world is what Christmas is all about. God so loved the world that he gave the only flesh body he had. God is a spirit, but God moved into a flesh body. And that's why we say being born again are filled with the Holy Ghost according to the writers of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all pointed toward that day right yonder when Jesus Christ died and the tomb became empty, and all of a sudden the Spirit began to canopy the earth and the glory of life became absolutely available to whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Ladies and gentlemen, there ought to be something bursting in our heart today as we contemplate and relive with our families over these coming holidays. Thank you for ever calling me out of that world of lying and cheating and doing wrong. I cannot thank him enough for the beauty of little Renly having a great-grandpa that's going to make sure that my grandkids treat that baby right. At least I'm going to do what I can. Right now, he's sitting on a throne. And if you ever think that the ability of man can put you in a room and aim a machine at you and can look inside your body and find out where the bones are broken and find out where the cancer is eaten up inside of you, and you can't see it, but they can, because that God gave wisdom to man. It's amazing how this whole show is working. And we wonder if God, who created the machine that can look inside of your body and tell where the femur bone has been broken, and you think he can't see what's really obstructing your life right now? That's why we preach every week. That's why we pray every day, is because we want to be in connection, constant relationship with a power structure that knows no power against it. There's no God like our God. Why forfeit the best of life for a little bit of the crumbs when the whole loaf, Jesus himself, with every ability to reconcile. I don't care how far away that your friends and sinners have gone. Our God is able to lift them back up and restore to them the joy that belongs to the covenant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is not a religious show. It is a God that is able to do things that you really want down inside of you. Joy and peace and glory, victory, and it's just, it's innumerable. And then he wanted to show you one of the best ones. That while you're here on earth, you have power, according to Luke, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. It's no problem if you got a hot day and you got an air conditioner. Just turn something on. It's no problem if you're starving and you have a pantry full of food and all you got to do is go get the food. But you do have to turn the air conditioner on. And you do have to go get the food. And so he uses the term, in the day of trouble, call on me. I will hear you. And I will come to you. And I'll give you Todd. heart and your hands to the Messiah for coming to you, for caring about you, for knowing about you. And he's called you to this chapel today to renew the joy, to renew the experience, to renew the realization. I came once, but I'm coming again. I went away that time, but I'm coming to get you. This time, we're all going back home. We're all going to the New Jerusalem. We're all getting out of this social climate that is turning more anti-Christ quick. Iran and Israel, what are their attack and defense capabilities? The risk of escalation looms after Israel fired missiles on Iran. That's just some of the news. Prisons, pitiful situations. One of the greatest cousins, and his name was Paul. And he spent a lot of time in prison just because he didn't use moral terms to live life. All of these wars and rumors of wars that the Bible talks about, they're just about over. So I want to read it to you all the way back in Isaiah's day. He looked across all the mountains, and he looked across all the troubles. He saw the weariness and the fatigue. But in the middle of all that was going on, Paul saw another world. And Isaiah wrote it in such a beautiful, phenomenal way. Isaiah said it this way, incline your ear. In other words, lean into it and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Your soul is the composition of all of the other eccentricities of life. It's your soul. And that's why that we importantly think about life, because the soul, the composition, the wholeness of man, the soul, where everything comes through and far. He said, I have given, verse 4, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander. Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not you shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. And for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. It's almost hard to believe, Brother Lester, that God would just take you up because you decided you'd like to live a new life. Would you and your wife mind standing up? Do you still enjoy hugging her? It didn't take him long to say anything, did he? How about that grandkid over there that we all adore? Thank God for loving me. I won't ever forget when you made the turnaround. And now a daughter and a little grandkid. And guess, they're on the highway to heaven. Thank you for being a part of my life, because it's a joy to see somebody that likes the perfect law of liberty. That is the law of the Lord, the spirit of truth, the glory of the King, the master of all life. That is what I'm talking about. And that's why we celebrate every bit of the Christmas story. He was born in a manger. He lived in poverty, and so to speak. And so Timothy, later, under the tutorialship of Paul, he says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, wanting but never being able to get what they really want, boasters, proud, blasphemers. In other words, they look down on the things of God. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Are we seeing any of that? Are we experiencing any of that? I will not sit around and just go through the routine of another meeting. I am here to preach out of any of us things that are dominating our body when we have a freedom and a joy and a peace, and we're going to celebrate this Christmas like never before, because we understand one thing, that if we have already seen every bit of that come, but the Lord is high and lifted up, and he's canopying the world right now with angelic host and saying, come unto me all ye that labor, come unto me, all you that are living in spiritual poverty, come unto me and I will give you joy and peace. You'll dance the dance that you've never danced. You'll shout the shout that you've never shouted. When you have absolutely overcome the flesh and you're walking in the holiness of God and the glory of the Lamb slain, and realize he didn't live in a tomb, he went through a tomb. And he's out of the tomb, and he's looking down today, and he's looking for a mother, and he's looking for a sister, and he's looking for a daddy. He's looking for somebody to come and bless him. He wants to. This part I didn't have put together yet. To look for somebody a little bit smaller than me, because he's bigger than we are. His robe of righteousness. Can you lift your heart to him right now and just sort of subserviently tell him how thankful you are that you know what his Christmas story is really all about? Thank you, Jesus. These next 2 weeks, we are going to celebrate the high praises, the thankfulness, the glory of walking with you. You know what? You look pretty good dressed up like that. I got another suit I may give you. God bless. Is that the end? Oh, I thought I'd already cut myself off. The cross and the resurrection are real. So I want you to see that Psalms, all the way back, looked over the hills of troubles and difficulties. He didn't only pen Psalms 23. Look at this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Would you just hold your breath for about a couple of minutes? I want you to understand, a very present help. Go ahead and take a breath. Don't wait a couple of minutes. I don't want to pass you out. The next breath. Catch the word, God, who is our life. The sinfulness of life is that people don't take advantage of the advantage. And so the pathos is they live and they do get some excitement. They do get some thrills, but they don't last. But he is from everlasting to everlasting. I don't care who makes fun of me for riding in a car while they're walking down the highway and saying, I guess he thinks he's really something. No. I don't ever feel bad about going to an airplane, an airport, and getting in an airplane, flying over 500 miles in just less than 2 hours, as opposed to getting on a bicycle and trying to get there. Think of the theory of trying to make flesh be what God wanted to be spiritual. And so he said, I'll just put the Spirit in you. You'll still go through trials, but you'll always overcome. You'll always feel the need to get here or do that, but you'll have the Spirit to overcome. And so back to the revelation, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcometh will I give that new name. To him that overcometh, over and again. And so what is the possibility without the Holy Ghost? Nothing. They tried it. The law proved that man didn't have enough energy or substance mentally. They knew the law. They knew all 10 commandments. But they didn't have the law of the Spirit. They just had the law. And that's why the law of the Spirit in the New Testament is so critical to study, is because of the law of the Spirit makes you free from the law of sin and death. And that is critical imagery and understanding. So though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. God is in this house right now. God is in your car right now. God is out there on the highway right now. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. He'll be waiting at your house. He'll be waiting at your tomorrow. He'll be waiting at next month. He'll be waiting as they carry you to a graveyard. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. Don't wait till it's too late. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you just got wet. When we are baptized into Jesus Christ. We are not baptized into a certain movement. We are not baptized into a Pentecostal church. We are not baptized into a Baptist church. We are not baptized into a whatever you call it. There's 126 religious systems, and all of them claim the same. If the alignment is not critical, it is critical in negativism. Ladies and gentlemen, look at that Bible. Understand the law of the Old Testament. Understand the Psalms. Understand the prophets. Understand, but understand this, that Christ came and he wanted to show you the power of the Spirit. So as I've mentioned, they put him in a grave, but you don't get enough power with death to destroy the life that God gives you. And so he said, just let me tell you this. 3 days in the heart of the earth, and I'm coming out. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, is because it goes to the realization, if he already ascended and he has put within us the Spirit, the New Jerusalem is waiting on us. So I just put it on there today. What's going to happen? No matter whether we live or die, Paul said, we are in Christ, a new creation. And I can almost see him as the musicians come. Right now, looking over the earth. Knowing the desire of his heart for a bride. And so he uses the technical term, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And those that are in Christ Jesus are coming out of the grave first. And then those which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And oh, that epitaph or the finale of that statement. So shall we ever be with the Lord, and time shall be no more. So when I preached that one time, and a lady in the church came to me and she said, you know, I'm not sure I want to go to heaven. I was shocked out of my mind. I said, do you have any idea what it'd be like just walking around up there all the time on streets of gold? I can tell you, it sent me back to the Bible. Because I got to thinking, man, I enjoy putting bicycles together for the kids. I enjoy putting a spark plug in my motorcycle. I enjoy getting my car clean. And all I'm going to do in the holy city is just sit there and never have another trouble. But well, it sort of went south on me right there for a little bit. And I thought, man, what are we going to do? And then I got to reading a little more. That's why you don't want to stop reading that book. Because this is what he said. He said, you're going to come up there with me. Darren, my son-in-law, you're going to rule and reign with him. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. These are direct quotations from the book. You're moving into something. You may not be able to manage that wife. But you're going to manage something over you. And I'm glad to preach to you that of the increase, there shall be no end. If it would have wanted, he wanted a dead-end street, he could have dead-ended it at the end of the law. But he came to lead you and to guide you in the way of life. And so what we are doing at church services, we're girding up the loins of our mind, as the apostle said. So he said, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, get it together while you can. Put this together while you can. If there's anything you want to study, study the Word. Because the more of the Word you hide in your heart, the more power. Go ahead and sing something. How much I think about this. He said, praise his name in a dance. And I'm a happy man today because I love every one of you. I love our city. I love our county. I don't want anybody going to hell. Do everything I can. This is not a game. It's not a religion. It's a salvation. And it's an issue. And so as we stand to our feet, would you like to give him a little praise? Take their hand. The Bible said, where two or three are gathered together, there will I be in the midst of them. And if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, please feel free to get a hold of me. One of the ushers. Refresh your relationship. This altar area is a wonderful place.
Someday for a crown. For the tears.